2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Our top of the hour segment this hour is blossom end rot. Sounds terrible, Ton.
Well, blossom end rot is a condition that we usually see in tomatoes, but also peppers, eggplants, squash, tomatoes, watermelon. There's lots of them. So what happens is that when the blossoms are out and they're pollinated, right at that point, as that pollination's initiated, that if we have wild temperature swings, or if the tomato is experiencing drought stress or is really heavily watered. So there's a few different factors.
Sure.
It inhibits calcium uptake in the roots. And the calcium that does come in, it's hard in some instances for the plant to uptake the calcium and get it to where it needs to be. And as that fruit is initiated, there's not enough calcium. And so on the blossom end, or what we would call the base of the tomato or pepper, it turns kind of a leathery, dark brown because when the tomato was fertilized, there was a lack of calcium there.
So what can people do about that?
Make sure that they're watering evenly. Use mulches over the tomatoes or black plastic. And just make sure that the tomatoes don't swing from extremely dry to extremely wet to extremely dry. So you're watering a couple of times a week, at least maybe three times a week, to keep the soil even as far as the moisture goes. Now, the temperature swings, there's nothing you can do about. And so a lot of the blossom end rot we see early in the season is from the tomatoes that were, the flowers were formed earlier in the season when we were going from 70 to 95 back down to 70 in the same week. And as the season progresses, the tomatoes are less likely to get the blossom end rot because of more even temperatures, and we have our irrigation system set up and can water more evenly. But there's also some varieties of tomatoes are more susceptible than others also.
So really the stuff, the preventative stuff needs to be done early in the season, right after you plant the tomato. Make sure you're putting mulch over the base. How much, like an inch, 2 inches?
A couple of inches. It'll help with weed prevention, help conserve water, and just help keep that soil evenly moist. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to overwater. It's just that you want to go from a wet soil to moderately dry to wet, and don't let it get more than moderately dry.
I always want to water. Like, I go out in the middle of the day sometimes, and I just want to water the tomatoes, and I'm just telling myself, they get plenty of water from the drip system. Leave them alone. Leave them alone.
If you're not getting blossom end rot, then they are being watered sufficiently and correctly.
But, you know, everything starts to droop when it gets so hot this time of year. And you really, I just really have that need. Like, I want to just water them. They're poor things.
Yeah. But... and we have a tendency to love things so much that we actually cause harm in the garden sometimes.
It's a good thing I'm not home most days, right?
Yeah. And so we should bring up that there are a lot of blossom end drop products out there that you can purchase, and most of them are not effective locally. So if you're doing a soil drench with calcium, it doesn't help because our soils are already up to 1/3 calcium carbonate, and there's plenty of calcium there. It's just that the plant can't get it in sufficient quantity sometimes. So I was talking to Sheridan, and she said, and I'm going to throw her under the bus on this one, that the blossom end rot sprays are the ones that if you're going to use anything, maybe try those because you're getting it right on the flowers. And otherwise, don't buy blossom end rot prevention products because they're not effective in Utah.
Okay, so at this point, really, just putting some more mulch at the base. And the tomatoes are still good. You just cut off the bottom, right?
Yeah, just cut off the bottom. They're totally fine. And the peppers, the anything that you still have usable food, fruit, vegetable there. And it's just that you want to cut off the affected portions and then you can
use
them.
They're just not as pretty.
They're not.
And we do lose part of the tomato, so.
You do. And it just, it'll diminish. You know, the first tomatoes have more of this and it usually diminishes by early to mid-September.
Over the years, have you just seen certain varieties of tomatoes that you wouldn't plant because you know they're more susceptible to something happening
to
them?
I know that we're going to probably get angry hate mail.
Oh, sorry.
Black creme and Cherokee purple. Blossom end drop.
Pick my favorite tomato.
The Cherokee purple and black creme, and it's more black creme, have a tendency to split. And they rot a lot more quickly because you have to use them within about 24 hours of picking. And what will happen if you don't keep the watering even and they go from dry to wet, the fruit, as it ripens, you'll get a burst of growth and the skin on the tomato is so thin that it cracks right before you ripen. And so you have to be super careful with watering. I think they're excellent tomatoes. It's just
there's
that
nothing better in a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
Yeah, and so these Cherokee purples, a lot of people grow them, but for me, I'm canning most of my tomatoes and making fresh salsa, and they work well for that. But because about 70% of my tomatoes are jarred, I don't want blossom end rot. I don't want cracked tomatoes, and so I'll more stick with Better Boy, Early Girls, the, DX, not DX, but, there's a couple of other varieties, but I'm not using mine for salads and things that often. And so it's just more what I use. I think they're great varieties. And if I were doing a lot more fresh eating, I wouldn't mind growing them.
You know, I love salads so much. So I love just having a variety of different tomatoes to be able to put in there.
They it's fun to have the yellows and the purples and the greens, and that is very fun. And, I think Ethan, who occasionally co-hosts, has started gardening again, but for a while he was growing just all sorts of weird heirlooms for that very purpose.
Yeah, and they're delicious. So I guess we just have to put up with some of the other weirdness them and try to do the preventative stuff.
We really do.
But pick my favorite tomato.
I'm sorry. Is it black creme or Cherokee purple?
The Cherokee purple is my favorite.
It is a great tomato. I grew it for 2 or 3 years. And like, if Sheridan's listening, she's probably going to hunt me down because she's...
It's my fault, Sheridan.
She specializes in heirlooms. Mm-hmm. That's one of her things. And so I don't try to criticize the heirlooms very often, but...
But it's important for people to be aware of what
does
happen.
Yeah, you need to know what they do.
And when you're choosing different varieties.
Another one that I would not grow is Brandywine, and a lot of people really like it. I don't like the flavor. It's so acidic that I just don't like it. And it also, you have to use it within a day or two because it rots pretty quickly. And so it's just all about use case. And I think it goes back to people asking us, what's your favorite tree? You're like, well, what are you needing? And then I can tell you some stuff that would work.
Right. All right. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Okay, before we take a break, though, we have Bart here who wants to comment on blossom end rot. And let's go to the phone lines. Hi, Bart. How you doing?
Well, I'm still here, guys.
Glad to hear you.
Hey, them blossom end rot occur a lot of times predominantly on Roma-type tomatoes.
Oh, I've never had the problem on Romas.
And I've got one variety I tried this year, and 90% of the fruit set has got blossom end rot.
Mm.
But none of my other tomatoes have it. Wade Bittner, who recently passed away, gave the best explanation of what causes blossom end rot, and it kind of coincided with the standard extension comment was, but his theory was that the upper growth of the plant outgrew the root's ability to take up the calcium. Once the root system got wide enough spread that it could take the calcium, then blossom end rot decreased.
Now, Wade was a very experienced gardener, and I appreciate it.
And that sounded a lot more reasonable to me than blaming it on the gardener for improper watering practices.
Okay. We don't like
taking
the blame.
First time Larry and Dwayne told me that, I was told them they were both full of that stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's a lot of research showing that the improper watering practices...
Well, improper watering practices exacerbates the problem. True.
Yeah.
But the root system being able to take up the calcium to support the top growth is much more reasonable.
All right.
Yeah, so that healthy root system is important. Thanks, Bart.
Bart, thanks for your call this morning. And let's take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. And you can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's take a call this morning from Shane in West Point. And good morning, Shane. Shane, are you there?
This is Doug. Is this KSL?
Yes, it is. Go ahead. What is your question?
So I have some tomato plants. And the blossoms have either been consumed, picked by something. I wonder if ants would do that, birds, maybe rabbits. But the blossoms are gone. Tomato plants are healthy.
Yeah. Are you seeing any feeding damage?
Am I seeing what damage?
Feeding damage.
I'm not sure what that is.
Well, are you seeing signs of like rabbits eating the foliage on your tomatoes?
Not the foliage. I did see some rabbits in my backyard one day.
They could exclusively eat the blossoms, but it would be lower down where they could reach. And so if there's just absolutely no blossoms on there, I would more think that it's weather-related. Temperatures above 90 to 95 degrees cause flower abortion in the tomatoes and many other vegetables. And if there's just absolutely no flowers, it could be... that they've dropped off due to the hot weather.
Okay. Ants wouldn't do it. I have a problem with ants this year.
No, ants wouldn't do it. The other thing that could be going on, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but for over-fertilization would also cause a lot of foliage and very few to no flowers.
Okay. And it's not all the tomato plants. I have some Romas that are just packed with tomatoes.
Yeah, and so if it's variety-specific, I would more think it's weather.
Okay. Oh, I appreciate that.
Not
much I can do about that.
No, give it another week or two and see if you see new blossom formation. And if you do, then you'll know that it was the weather that caused it.
Okay. I thought something was probably eating them like the ants. But I appreciate your call.
Yeah, rabbits are a possibility, but I don't think the ants would do anything.
And birds aren't a problem?
No, they wouldn't. You might get a few pecks on the fruit when it's ripe. But, I mean, for the ants, if they're in the garden area and there's not vegetables close, one of the easiest ways to get rid of them is a boiling pot of water. You just boil water and pour it over the nest.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for your call today. Next listener is sending us a text question for his wife. He says his wife has several rose bushes, and every late fall, she cuts them back to the stump. And this year, her favorite one grew back with very skinny, spindly stems. What are your thoughts and observations?
Probably either herbicide damage or a virus.
Really?
Yeah, herbicide damage, it'll eventually usually grow through, but it could have a virus in there because sometimes the viral symptoms look really similar to herbicide damage.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would actually recommend doing, well, there's not much you can really do about it now besides if it doesn't recover this year, I'd dig it out and maybe not put another rose there for a few years. But I would actually cut those roses down. You can cut them back enough so that they don't bend over in the snow. And you, what you would do is put some bark mulch around the base, so some shredded or better off a chunk bark, and then put it around the base around 6 inches high, and then leave those canes intact until mid-March. And that way, if we get a really bad winter, those canes will, you'll be, by leaving more canes there, you increase the chances that the rose will have enough growth points from the remaining wood. And the, that's the purpose of putting the bark, like the chunk bark around the base also, is to protect that wood so that you have growing points so that the roses recover.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, what components make the best compost and what compost would void the organic value?
I'm not sure about the void. I don't know what they mean by that. As long as it decomposes, you can use it. And the formula is about when you're making compost is 1/2 brown material and 1/2 green. And so that brown material would include things like sawdust, shredded up bark, shredded branches, brown grass. And that still decomposes fairly quickly. And green stuff would be vegetable waste, green grass, and you want to keep that 50-50 mix. And then about once a week, you're going to water your compost pile so that it stays the consistency of almost like a wrung out wash rag or sponge. So that's the formula, but you avoid animal manures, avoid dairy just because they stink and they attract a lot of things like skunks and raccoons in. So it should be plant-based. But otherwise, that's the compost formula I know.
All right. Let's take a call from Mary in Bountiful. Good morning, Mary. How can we help you?
Hey, hello. Yes, I'm calling because we've lived in our home about 37 years since 1974. And once in a while, I've had our lawns aerated. And I get this spring, and I'm wondering how often I need to do that. I live above Archer Drive, so the sand, we have a bit of sand in our soil, but I've lived here so long that, you know, lawns have been here quite a while.
If you have sandy soil, you may not need to do it at all, because what you're going to need to check is the thatch layer, and if you have a half-inch layer of thatch or less, then you don't need to aerate. And in that sandy soil, it's well drained already. So if there's no thatch there, don't aerate.
Well, actually, it's not true sand.
Yeah, but I'll retract that. If it's well drained, which it should be, there's less need to aerate. And if you have some thatch buildup, then every spring should be fine.
Also, okay, so the thatch has built up over the years. So each spring is a good idea, is what you're saying.
It is. And split the grass open with a shovel, and if there's a half inch or less, don't. But if there's more than a half inch, then go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that very much. Thank you so much for calling.
All right.
For answering.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks so much for calling this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. A couple of questions like this. We just have about 30 seconds here, Tom. But will my tomatoes ever turn red is the big question.
Dave's on the background saying no, they will. Just let it cool down a bit. And when temperatures are below 90 or even 95 and they're shaded in the plant, they will go red.
They will eventually turn red.
Yes, they will.
All right. Again, the number to call, 575-8255. Text us at 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
This week, as you dig around town, learn the history of plants at Thanksgiving Point's Museum of Ancient Life on July 31st. Discover the beginnings of all of our green and growing beauties on planet Earth. Get all the info at thanksgivingpoint.org. Find out more about native plants and how they adapt to our climate with Weber Basin Water on August 4th. You can register at weberbasin.com. Learn how to harvest and preserve herbs at a walk and talk on August 11th at the Ogden Botanical Center. Learn more at ogdenbotanicalgardens.org. And learn how to create water-wise park strips on August 19th with Conservation Garden Park. Register at conservationgardenpark.org. Now this week's quick tip.
There are some wonderful flowering shrubs blooming right now, and hydrangeas are among the best. Consider oakleaf, Annabelle, and panicled hydrangeas. The flowers actually last for a couple of months. Rose of Sharon are also great. There are many varieties that reach up to 10 feet tall, but many newer cultivars that are dwarf that only grow to 2 to maybe 4 feet. Butterfly bush and Caryopteris are also great because not only do they add beauty to your yard, but they attract many beneficial insects.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.